Ian Dale at Drive on LBC.
24 minutes to 5. We'll come back to your calls on police corruption in just a moment, but I want to cross to Washington now, where the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is addressing Congress. I think he's been quite controversial. Simon Marks joins us now. Simon, what's he been saying?
Well, it is very much Benjamin Netanyahu unplugged there on Capitol Hill, attending a joint session of Congress that is being boycotted by some Democrats, but not all Democrats. Remember, this is the visit to Washington that resulted from an invitation issued by Republicans, not by President Barack Obama, who would much rather that the Israeli Prime Minister was not here right now, so close to the Israeli general election. He would also much rather that Prime Minister Netanyahu wasn't delivering the uncompromising message that he is delivering on Capitol Hill, telling cheering Republicans that Iran is hell-bent on acquiring nuclear weapons, telling them that the Obama-backed plan won't do very much to stop Iran from acquiring those nuclear weapons. In short, he has presented a nightmare vision of the future.
Beyond the Middle East, Iran attacks America and its allies through its global terror network. It blew up the Jewish Community Center and the Israeli embassy in Buenos Aires. It helped al-Qaeda bomb U.S. embassies in Africa. It even attempted to assassinate the Saudi ambassador right here in Washington, D.C. In the Middle East, Iran now dominates four Arab capitals, Baghdad, Damascus, Beirut, and Sana'a. And if Iran's aggression is left unchecked, more will surely follow. So at a time when many hope that Iran will join the community of nations, Iran is busy gobbling up the nations.
He also just said that Iran getting into the nuclear arms race would represent a farewell to the global regime of arms control, and he had this warning on Iran's nuclear ambitions.
The foremost sponsor of global terrorism could be weeks away from having enough enriched uranium for an entire arsenal of nuclear weapons, and this with full international legitimacy. And by the way, if Iran's intercontinental ballistic missile program is not part of the deal, and so far Iran refuses to even put it on the negotiating table, while Iran could have the means to deliver that nuclear arsenal to the far-reached corners of the earth, including to every part of the United States. So you see, my friends, this deal has two major concessions. One, leaving Iran with a vast nuclear program. And two, lifting the restrictions on that program in about a decade. That's why this deal is so bad. It doesn't block Iran's path to the bomb. It paves Iran's path to the bomb.
This is pretty punchy stuff, Simon.
It is very punchy stuff. President Obama, we should note, is not even watching this speech. He objects to Prime Minister Netanyahu's presence here to such a degree that a few hours ago, the White House announced that he was going to be hosting a hastily arranged video conference with David Cameron, François Hollande, Matteo Renzi of Italy, Angela Merkel of Germany to talk about Ukraine and global security issues. One of those global security issues, of course, the rise of Islamic State. And in this speech, Prime Minister Netanyahu has again tweaked the Obama administration by saying just because Iran is backing Iraqi government forces in the bid to retake Tikrit from Islamic State, that doesn't mean Iran is a friend of the United States. In one of the lines that got the most applause in this speech, he said it simply means that the enemy of your enemy is your enemy.
Have Israeli-American relations ever been lower?
No, definitely not. I mean, there's no question that the political relationship now between the Obama administration, the White House and Prime Minister Netanyahu are fractured to such a degree that it's very difficult to see how they get put back together. You know, Prime Minister Netanyahu's been here for 2 days. Yesterday, he addressed AIPAC, the big American-Israeli lobby group. The Obama White House sent National Security Advisor Susan Rice to talk to them last night. And it has to be said that she G1 a very chilly reception from the audience there that had been on its feet, whooping it up for Benjamin Netanyahu just a little bit earlier in the day. So there's real political battle lines drawn now between Washington and Tel Aviv, and also a sense that for the Democratic Party particularly, this fracture poses a very real problem as we head into an American election campaign where the votes of Jewish Americans across the country, particularly in states like Florida, will be very important. Democrats, as they move on to the campaign trail, are going to have to find a way of putting this relationship back together in some fashion. And that, for someone like Hillary Clinton, for example, if she runs for the presidency, could indeed be quite a challenge.
Simon, thank you very much indeed. That's Simon Marks, our Washington correspondent.